So that's our first inferential example. Let's look at another one. Job, a servant of Elohim. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1, verses 8 says, cutting to the good, then the Eternal said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears Elohim and shuns evil? What is going on here? And we know Satan's response. Basically, if you weren't protecting him and taking care of him, he would turn against you, right? You could read more about that. But I want to stay focused on our mission, on our task at hand. So here, it looks like the Eternal is having this dialogue with the adversary, putting Job, his main man, his main person on earth at that time. You see, somebody said, so this can't be at the time, it's unlikely this is at the time of Abraham, as people would suggest, by the testimony of Elohim. There's none like him on the earth, he said. And we know at the time of Abraham, Abraham was the man. So Job might have been before or a little after Abraham, I don't know. But they were not simultaneous in time. So Elohim asked this question. Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears Elohim and shuns evil? Wow. And let's look at chapter 2, verse 3. Then the Eternal said to Satan again, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man who fears Elohim and shuns evil? And still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. And let's look at verse 20, chapter 23, verse 10. And Job, this is a statement or a thought of Job as revealed in chapter 23, verse 10. Job says, but he knows, that is the Eternal, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, and that's the word behan, that's the Hebrew word behan. When he had tested me or tempted me, behan, it's used as tempted or tested. You see that? Behan me, I shall come forth as gold. So while experiencing tremendous emotional and physical distresses and pain imposed on him, Job testifies that Elohim knows his situation and will test in this or prove him to improve and refine him. Remember, prior to that, Elohim had already testified on Job's behalf, as stated in the following, in those verses we just read. As hard as it may be to understand, Elohim in part allowed Job to suffer to prove Job's faithfulness to the adversary, as well as to give Job a better understanding of who he is. Because if those of us who have read that, you know, in the end, because throughout his sufferings, Job was saying, you know, he's righteous. Yes, he was righteous to a certain degree, and he was standing on his righteousness. But after that experience, and after Elohim spoke with him towards the end of the book, he sees how little he was, how wrong he was in his attitude. So he was a righteous man, but through that harsh testing or harsh temptation experience, Elohim made him a better person, and also showed Satan that people, the children of men in him, can stand for righteousness and will not turn to evil no matter what happens. So that's the second inferential situation where Elohim can put someone to the test, because he initiated this with Satan, and Job suffered a lot. Job was his main man. I remember sometime I would speak to my daughter, especially when she was younger and still now, and I say to myself too, because our minds can easily forget, that sometimes Elohim put people in the front lines. He put some of his people in the front lines. Those are his servants, to prove a point, to make a point. It could be to a high power like Satan, or even to fellow people to make a point. That's why our Messiah, when you are led before, when into the synagogues, right, to stand trial, do not premeditate what you will say, but the Spirit will tell you what to say, right? So these are types of testings that Elohim can allow people to go through, even lead you to, for your good. As was for Samson, it was for his good. His attitude, his behavior was not right. And Job, his attitude, he was really righteous. But Elohim wanted to make a point to Satan. And through Job, wow, he made that point, but still blessed Job in the end. So these are two inferential examples. Now let's look at two direct examples. Okay? Direct, where it says Elohim tempted or led into temptation. The first one is through the prophet Abraham. We read this in Genesis 22, verse 1. What does it say? You're familiar with this. And it came to pass after these things that Elohim did tempt Nesa, that's the word Nesa, Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here am I. Hineni, here I am, he says. And verse 2 of chapter 22 says, then he said, that is Elohim, quote, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. You know that account. So the patriarch and prophet Abraham was led into temptation when he was directed by Elohim to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. Would Abraham have ever thought of doing something like that? How did he come about thinking about it? Who put those ideas in his head? Who told him to do that? Would he have done that? Was he happy now? Or was he struggling with this? He was a man of faith, but this was a hard test, a hard temptation. This was an extremely difficult thing, for even though Abraham believed his son would be resurrected as stated in the scriptures, having to kill his son would be a heart-wrenching task. He will rise again. He believed, no matter what happened, his son's going to be risen from the dead somehow, because Elohim cannot lie. Because he promised him that through his son he would have a multitude of nations. So he knows Elohim cannot lie. So that means, yeah, I'm going to kill my son, but I know somehow this my son will rise again. As I mentioned, as the scripture says, he says to his men on the way to the mountain, stay here. He and his son, will go up. And he and his son, will come back down. So he had that faith. But it was a hard, very difficult thing. So this test or temptation was to prove or reveal Abraham's faithfulness. Not to find out if he was faithful. Why do I say that? For Elohim had already attested earlier, quote, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the eternal to do justice and judgment, that the eternal may bring upon Abraham that which he have spoken of him. When did he say this? After chapter 22? No, in chapter 18, verse 19. So he put Abraham to this test. But he already knew Abraham would always obey his commands. Not just he would, but he would make sure that his immediate family does the same. So what's going on here? So he is putting Abraham to the test to make a point, to show that he is faithful. To say the least, to show that Abraham is faithful to him. That's what he is doing. It's very similar to Job's situation. As a matter of fact, I don't want to go into what the book of Jubilees state, but those of us who've read the Jubilees account see all the dynamics behind that were very much like that of Job. But I'll just stick to what Genesis says here. So he put Abraham to that harsh test. Okay? So and it made Abraham that much stronger. And it set the precedent so that no one should ever think that Elohim would want sacrifices, human sacrifices. Elohim is not one that we should take lightly. All right? Because what he does, no one can really question. And it's futile for us to try to put Elohim in a box. It's useless. Because Elohim is Elohim no matter what the scriptures say. No matter what we know that the scriptures say, no matter what we don't know that the scripture, Elohim is Elohim, and he's going to do what he's going to do. And reality manifests what he is doing. I'm saying today, what is Elohim doing? Just look around you. It reveals his will. Make sure you understand it reveals his will. So let's look at the second direct, very direct account of where Elohim leads a person into temptation. And this one is very direct, even says so. And this is from our very sovereign, the Savior. The one, you see, he experienced it. And so lovingly he tells us, when you pray, ask that you lead us not into temptation. Why? Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. What does it say? It says, then Yehoshua was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Wow. That's the Greek word pirazo. Forgive me for butchering that word. That's what the scripture says, dear brother. It's not for us to debate with the scriptures. That's what it says in Matthew chapter. Who is the Spirit? The Spirit of Elohim. Then because he was just baptized. Okay, let me not say too much. So in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, as I said, it says, then Yehoshua was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Mark chapter 1, verse 13 says, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted, again, perazo, by Satan. And was with the wild beasts. Not little rabbits and so on. Wild beasts. There were all types of huge animals in that region back then. And the angels ministered to him. Note, the Spirit of Elohim led Yeshua to temptation. Testing. As testing of silver and gold. So just after the one true spotless lamb of Elohim was beheld and baptized, as stated and done by John the Baptist, he was led, that is Messiah, was led into temptation to do what? To defeat the devil and be recognized by all in heaven and on earth as worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Thereafter, he was visited and attended to by his heavenly fellows from above. I say that on purpose because the scripture says he was anointed above all his fellows, his brethren. These are the angels, his family, his heavenly family members. Amen. I'm so glad that they had come to visit him at that terrible time, that beginning of his trials. His beloved servants came and tended to him. Amen. Heavenly. So note, he was honored and comforted by angels, his fellows. Why? For his victory over the devil. So the greatest of all was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. The others were tried by Satan and they resisted, but Yeshua was confronted by him at a very physically weak point, fasting 40 days and 40 nights. And the adversary tempted him afterwards. But he had the victory. And his brethren from above came and spent some time comforting him, tending to him. Amen. So these are the two passages. These are actually the two types, inferential and direct scriptures that show temptation, is something that Elohim can do. But let's now reconcile the biblical passages. About a year ago, the Spirit taught me, quote, "The truth of Elohim is one reality," end of quote. Even as Elohim is one. That's what I learned by the Spirit as I was meditating. That the truth of Elohim is one reality, even as Elohim is one. And this, of course, agrees with the Anointed Savior's teaching that the scriptures cannot be broken. They are one. You don't take them apart and pit them against each other. That's what the adversary does. We must not have that mindset. We must always seek reconciliation. If we're looking to do good with the scriptures, if we're looking to honor Elohim and the scriptures and not be overly critical of the scriptures, you will find that his Spirit will allow you because of your good intent to accomplish that good. For the scriptures cannot be broken. And Elohim has preserved the scriptures in such a way that no matter what mankind has done to them, he will help you understand what's true through the text of the scriptures themselves. So Matthew chapter 6:13, that portion that says, "And lead us not into temptation," and that's the word pirosmos, "but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever." Amen. For yours. That's why you can do it. You can do it because you're in charge. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. You're in the glory. You can do this for us. You can lead us not into temptation. You can deliver us from evil. The Savior taught that we should pray not to be put in situations of chastisement. We should pray against that. We don't want to live in a sinful for sins. Or neither do we want to be put in a position to prove our faithfulness or to refine us. It doesn't have to happen that way. We don't have to be chastised. We don't have to go the path, be put, led as Samson was, because of our sins, because of our thoughts, because of our hearts. To fix us, Elohim has to lead us into hard testing, into trials. It doesn't have to be that way. And neither do we need to be refined by hard testing. We can ask him not to do that. We don't have to experience what Abraham went through. How many of you would like to experience that? Would like to be told, "Hey, I want you to offer up," you know? No. How many of us would like to be the instrument to prove to Satan that people are faithful? The same mind where, you know, in the scriptures it says, "You shall perform all your vows, all your oaths." What did Messiah said instead? See, that's the law, right? And if the law is correct, if you say it, you better fulfill it. So Messiah says to us, don't make vows at all. Don't put yourself in that spot. So Yeshua is saying to us, by saying, "Lead us not into temptation," we can ask our Father in heaven not to put us through those things that we see the patriarchs went through, that he himself went through. We don't need to be put in situations of chastisement or to refine us. This is why this part of the model prayer was placed immediately after that part that requested, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You see, brethren, if we have that merciful attitude, Elohim will have mercy on us even if we fail. Even if we sin, because if we have that attitude of mercy on those who harm us, he will, because he is very merciful. He's like that. He causes his sun and the rain to shine on the wicked and the just. So if we have a forgiving heart, he will forgive us. If not, he will put us to trial, those of us that are his. Remember the account of the man when he could not pay his debt? The one who he owed the debt to put him into prison until he pays his debt. But he begged for mercy, and the mercy he asked not to be led into that trial, because he said, put him until he pays his debt. That's a trial. See, he didn't put him in prison to destroy him, but he put him in prison. He intended to put him in that prison until he could pay all his debt. He would become a bond servant. So he goes out when the man had mercy on him and let him go free. He knew someone who owed him something. He took him by the throat and said, pay me all that you had. And the master found out and took him and cast him into prison and until he would pay all his debt. That's what's going on here. You see, so Elohim is telling us, if you have a forgiving heart when you do wrong, he will forgive you and not put you into testing. That's why it's arranged like that. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive our trespasses. Then it says, and lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into hard testing. Moreover, that part is followed by the word, and deliver us from evil. It doesn't just end, lead us not into, it's deliver us from evil. Why is that? That is, there are much evils that our sins bring upon us. Much chastisements. Much, it's unnecessary too, really. It doesn't have to happen, but it will happen if that's what it takes to get us to do what's right. But if we have the forgiving attitude and we have the humility to ask, lead us not into temptation or testing, deliver us from evil. Deliver us. We have enough problems. Please don't add it anymore. Deliver us and don't let us have any more. See, with that right attitude of having a forgiving heart and asking for mercy, we will receive mercy. We will be delivered from even the evils that we are in on account of our sins. Samson was there because of his sin. And had he asked for life, you could understand Elohim would have given him life. But he did not have that level of faith. So he, whatever reason, asked, let him pass. And Elohim granted, as you believe, so shall it be, right? That's what Messiah says. That's the proof of the scriptures. We see that as he asked, so he received. If you ask a lot in faith and goodness, you will receive a lot in faith and goodness. But if we ask a little bit, if we think Elohim can't do it, just as is written, because they did not believe, Messiah did very little work in his own hometown. It's not that he couldn't do it. He would not do it because of their unbelief. So deliver us from evil, it says. So considering how harsh the evils that Abraham, Job, and the Savior endured, it makes good sense to pray that we be not led to temptation, but be delivered from evil, such as injury, poverty, hunger, oppression, sickness, etc., whatever you could list there. That's what that's all about in that model prayer. So let's go back to where it says, so blessed is, James chapter 12 also says, James chapter 1 verse 12 also says, Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Eternal had promised them that love him. That's the same word that for temptation we read before. And verse 13 says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by Elohim. For Elohim cannot be tempted. Apirastos, that means cannot be tempted. Perazo, the razo, tempted. Apirazo, cannot be tempted. It's like the opposite. Cannot be tempted by evil. Nor does he himself tempt perazo, anyone. So note, the context of James chapter 1, 12 through 13 is dealing with evil, not good. So James is simply teaching that Elohim does not tempt or test people to destroy them. Yet as shown by the scriptures, so that's what it's about. You see, he's not just blanketly saying Elohim doesn't tempt or test. It's specifically about evil. He's not going to do it just to destroy someone. If he does it, it's always going to be for the person's good, rather to make them better or to chastise them to get them to repent. He does it that way, but he never does it for evil. You see? Because it says Elohim cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt him. So the context is temptations of evil. Elohim does not tempt people to commit evil, nor does he test or tempt people for the purpose of destroying them. He does not do that. So as shown by the scriptures aforementioned, he does test people or tempt them to chastise them unto repentance or to reveal or to increase their virtue and faithfulness. Exemplars of this are Abraham when he was asked to sacrifice his son Isaac, and Job doing his very harsh testing of temptation. In these cases, Abraham was tested to make known his faithfulness, and Job for the same reason and also to refine him. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13 says, we're coming to the conclusion, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But Elohim is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted, perazo, tested beyond what you are able to bear. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape. Listen to what it says. With the temptation will also. So with the testing, he will also include the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So even in that text, so he's orchestrating the whole thing. Okay? And we see that he usually does it through the adversary. And the books of Clement, the account of the Clement's record of the Apostle Peter's teachings shows these things very well. And again, read or listen to the Clementine Acts of the Apostles. Clementine Acts of the Apostles. So let's conclude. In conclusion, therefore, the Savior's instruction to ask, lead us not into temptation or testing when praying, is correct and very beneficial. Many have had to be led into temptation or testing to get them to repent from sin or to, as a process for greater spiritual growth, victory, and honor. This part of the Sovereign's Prayer is a means for us to be spared from those testings, from those temptations. That is why it is, as I said before, preceded by the request for forgiveness and followed by a request for deliverance from evil. In effect, we are advised to repent so we can be forgiven, spared from having to be tempted or to repent or to grow, and delivered from all manner of evil. As we review, the English words for tempt, temptation, and tempted are used for different Greek and Hebrew words in the Bible. And they are used such in context of whether it is a bad person, a bad being like Satan, who wants to destroy, he's doing it because he wants to destroy, or Elohim, who will use means to bring people to repentance, to refine them, or just to prove how faithful they are. So the examples of how the words are used show their meaning depends on the context in which they are used. In some cases, like that of Samson, it is a chastisement for sin. And other cases, like Abraham and Job, for blessings, honor, and or refinement. Moreover, we saw the accounts of Elohim leading people to temptation. One case was to bring Samson to repentance, the others to show his servants honor, especially of his son, the anointed Savior. Thus, the Bible shows that the prayer to not be led into temptation is valid and important. For as circumstances may require, Elohim does lead his people into temptation or testing for their good. In light of this fact, if we want to avoid the testing and receive good things, let us pray for it as the Savior taught. We need to trust the work of Elohim to preserve the truth in the scriptures. Often what we think are errors are actually information that we do not yet understand. We should never jump to any conclusion to the veracity or error of any Bible text without first reading and understanding Elohim's complete revelation on a particular matter in the Bible. Unless we are proven prophets, we need to be humble and not think we are authorized or know enough to correct what we or others may think are errors in Scripture. People who take upon themselves to correct what they perceive as errors in the Scriptures are only causing greater confusion, doubt, and often greater error. So let us be humble and wise to leave such responsibilities to those who have been proven by Elohim as his prophets. And I am not one of them. I'm not a prophet. I'm just teaching what the Bible says. Because that is their job only, not the bishops, not priests, not scribes, or any other. And I do not hold any of these positions. I'm just a fellow brother in Messiah seeking to honor Elohim and his word and to help people pray the Master's Prayer. Because there's so much evil in this world. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Le'olam va'ed. Amen. Thank you, brethren, for listening.